City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago and the Light in the Piazza. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
Oh, nothing, to me, nothing says pride like that song by George Michael. I remember a very, very long time ago when I was just a little baby coming to the Chicago Pride Parade and seeing a handful of drag queens perform that on the back of a big electric blue flatbed truck. And it still inspires the thoughts and the feelings of pride. Happy Pride, everybody out there, and how are you doing? Folks, I am Peter Maverick, the Queer in Year, for those of you who haven't listened to me before, and I am so thankful to be here with you on this Pride weekend. We are just on the eve of in Pride Month, actually. June is the month where you should be the most proud of who you are, even though you should be proud of yourself the entire year round. But June, you know, we've sort of captured it for who it was. And I, honeys, I have been working my ass off and doing some traveling and having a little bit of travel drama and all kinds of other stuff. But, oh, I dropped my pencil. Hang on, I need to get my pencil because I need to keep track of my notes. Hi. Oh, how are you? I hope you are all doing well. Gengi desu ka? Kikane sagapu mo? Kala ise kala? Estás bien, corazones. How are you all? Well, I am doing stupendous. There are just so many good things going on in my life, and I am very, very blessed to still be here and to be in front of this microphone and to be doing this show and to be blogging the hell out of my life, which I love so much. But let me tell you, I just came back from the Big Apple. Yes, I did. I just came back from New York. I spent a few days out there having a wonderful time, and it's become a little bit of a tradition. Last year, this time, I went to New York and with my friend Todd, who's a bartender at Sidetrack, Todd Keach, who is actually on the Windy City Queer Cast with me. You can pop over there and listen to us. I think we're on show 114 or something like that. And, or maybe 114 isn't out yet. I don't know. I'm just telling you. I don't know. So Todd and I traveled to New York last year to see a production called Broadway Bears. And Broadway Bears is put on by Equity Fights AIDS Broadway Cares, which is an organization in New York of theater people. So all kinds of musical theater people and non-musical theater people and lighting people and directing people and choreographing people and blah, 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 costuming people and makeup people and hair people and all kinds of fun Broadway people get together and do this gigantic striptease. And this year it was Broadway Cares, I don't know what number it was, but it was called Myth Behaving. So myth as in Greek mythology, myth behaving, which is so apropos because I'm having a pride party and it's called my big fat Greek pride party, which is, I think, quite fitting for the times. But it was so funny that there's been this weird Greek theme. Even Sidetrack had like a Greek theme or Greek columns and everything to their anniversary party. But anyway, so the Greeks are winning this year or something like that. I don't know. What, nothing says pride like a Greek, right? Anyway, so we decided to go out there for Broadway Bears again this year. And what happened is we just managed to build this entire lovely weekend. We were out there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and we're planning to fly back on Tuesday. I'll get to the flying back drama. If you've heard in the news, there's still been a shitload of plane problems. No, we weren't on United. The computers didn't break. But anyway, so the weekend started out just so wonderfully. I had Thursday off, so I got to do the house stuff and to pack my bags and really chill out and have a nice quiet day and got to do some things. Ended up hanging out with my friend Sergio, who just randomly text messaged me and he saw me. He randomly text messaged me and then I flew past him on my bike and was like, what? Oh my God, Serge. So we got to hang out. It was totally fun. Had a great time. Did a bunch of shopping before the trip. Of course, I did a ton of shopping during the trip. But on Friday, when Todd and I flew out to New York, we had a wonderful afternoon, relaxing, chilling. And then Friday night, we went to this place called Joe's Pub to see Isaac Mizrahi and his band. Yes, I did. Isaac Mizrahi, the fashion designer, the one who asks everyone on the red carpet if they're wearing underwear, got up on stage and performed. He has this lovely cabaret show. It's really quite wonderful. It was at Joe's Pub. Just a wonderful venue for to eat and to relax. It's very intimate. It's very New York. It's just a great room for sound, great food, stupendous servers. I mean, I gave my server, I think, a $50 tip because she was just out of this world incredible. Took such good care of us. Really attentive. The food was delicious, but Isaac was just beyond. I was so, so impressed with his show. He can sing well. He's a great cabaret artist because he loves to tell stories, the stories behind the music and the stories about his life and about what's going on. And then he gave away stuff, which was delightful. In fact, someone, I don't know who this person was, and I would love to know who it was because I would just like to call them and say, duh, what were you thinking? Someone sent Isaac Mizrahi a ham. Now, we know Isaac Mizrahi is Jewish, and I don't know if he's kosher. I don't know what, but the irony of sending a Jewish man a ham, it made me giggle. So what he did is he gave away stuff. He said, oh, people send me stuff all the time, so I'm giving back to you. And then he pulls out these bags and just starts giving stuff out to the audience. And at one point, he holds up this gigantic frozen ham and is like, does anyone want a ham? And of course, this little Twinkie boy stands up and is like, I would love a ham. And he's like, well, there you go. It looks like you could use it. So it was just a delightful show. He has such a fantastic band with him. The band was absolutely The band was absolutely incredible, and he was just wonderful, wonderful to sing and to tell the stories. After that, there was a thing called Dance Mopolitan. It was some modern dance, and it was nice. There were some pieces that were a little tedious because, you know, me and modern dance, I don't know a lot about it. I don't really... Some of it was good. Some of it was weird. There was this piece about a burqa that was great up until it started taking itself too seriously, and then I didn't really like it. But the first part was great. Anyway, that was Friday. On Saturday, more shopping and touring around and going here and to and fro. And we had the very good fortune to have tickets to go see Spring Awakening, which won a bunch of Tonys. In the most recent, was nominated for 11, I think, and it won a bunch of them. And what an emotional show. Truly, you can feel just the teen confusion and angst. And I'm not going to tell you too much about the story because it's still so early in its run. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But you can go online and look at Spring Awakening if you want. The music was so rocky. It's the show that was written by Duncan Sheik. The music was written by him. It's based on a play. I'm not sure who did the book for it, but it's based on an older play. But the music was so very Duncan Sheik. It sounded just like him. And I don't dislike his music, but it was very Duncan Sheik, and it was wonderful. But the performers, the lead girl was so amazing. Truly a Broadway star. Is just born. She's been with it. She's so young, and she's been with the show for 6 years through all the workshops and everything like that. She was amazing. The lead character, I believe his name is Malkiar, he was just phenomenal. Just really getting out there and bringing such an energy to the show. And it's just an inventive set and the lighting and the costumes and everything just wound itself into the what I consider the quintessential Broadway experience. It was the show that reached out of the stage and just wrapped itself all around you, and it shook you up and it pulled you from side to side, and it really just made you think. It made me, more than anything, remember what I was like when I was their age, and I was confused about my body, and I was confused about the feelings that I was having, and I was confused about what I should do in life and where I should turn and what I should think and what I should wear and who I should be and who I should hang out with and what I should say. And it just brought all those things back for me that I had felt when I was just starting out and coming up in my life. And in a strange way, a lot of it reminded me of the struggle that I had with coming out of the closet. Now, I don't say struggle because it was a hard decision for me. I say struggle because when I came out when I was 15, I say struggle because I was struggling to understand what to call what I was feeling and how to kind of classify it. Because I think as people, we like to classify how we feel, and we like to stratify our feelings. We like to layer them and succinctly layer them to say, these feelings are part of that over there, those feelings are part of that over there. And I had all these weird mixed up feelings when I was a teenager, and Spring Awakening just really kind of, I got those same butterflies, and it really just, it hit me very hard. In the most wonderful of ways, though. So theater that made me think and feel and soar and want to sing, and it's a wonderful soundtrack. If you're like me, don't go out and buy the soundtrack until you see the show. I don't like to spoil it. That's just what I do. I don't like to know the music before I see the show. I actually like to see the show so it's all fresh and new. But now I have the soundtrack, and it's amazing. So I highly recommend you pick that. That was Saturday. Then we went out to a bunch of bars. We were staying in Chelsea at the Four Point Sheraton, so it was so easy to get to many bars around the area. Barracuda was just another block over. Splash was a few blocks away. There was a great bar just behind us called XES. Little neighborhoody place. Totally fun. Totally great scene. Little patio until about midnight. Then the patio shuts down and it's just indoors. Wonderful, wonderful neighborhoody bar. Great gay bar. Really chill. Really fun. So Saturday was wonderful. Sunday, of course, was Broadway Bears, and we toured around in the city, had some lovely brunch at Vinyl, I believe, the diner. And we also were walking around, and there was kind of like a street fair in the village. So we went down in the village, we went down to Christopher Street because I wanted to go to the Stonewall. It's tradition for me. Every time I go to New York, I have to visit Stonewall. If you remember, last year at this time, if you go back in time, go back in history, let's take you back. Let's see, I'm going to search on Radio Peter right now, Stonewall, and I'm going to take you back to what show. It was Radio Peter 20, and it's actually a video podcast that I did right outside of Stonewall. So this time we were actually able to go in, it was open, and we had a drink in there, and it has a feeling. There's a feeling there. I don't want to say this. It's not a feeling of unrest. It's not a feeling of unhappiness. But it's sort of a feeling of discontent. And it just washed over me so strongly when we were actually inside. And I know that's a weird and spooky and crazy thing to say. And it's been so many years since everything has happened there. But it really touched me, and it really felt like a tangible part of queer history that I could really put my hand on and I could experience. And I walked around in the entire bar, and it's not a big place. It's fairly small, and it's got low ceilings. It's very New York in that respect. And I kind of tried to picture what it might have been like a long time ago when people could walk through the door and be themselves, be 100% of themselves, be 110% of themselves when they were on the inside, and how they had to maybe button a little bit of that up when they left the establishment. So I kind of tried to think, to put my put myself in their shoes, in the people's shoes who came before us, who made that place what it is in history, and stood up for what they believed, and then fought back against the police who were trying to keep them down and raid and them and all that stuff. And I know it's a long time since then, but in some ways it was kind of a spiritual thing for me to be there and to experience it. So it really reinforced that feeling of pride that I get this year, or that I get every year at this time, because it's very a reflective time. I think it should be a reflective time for us all, and it should be a time that when we can all share who and what we are with the world. I do this podcast as a queer man, number one, and as a queer artist, as a queer speaker, as a queer, I don't know that I'm an activist. I think I am. I've talked about this before, sort of an activist, but as a loud and proud queer man, I am gay. Hear me roar, roar. And it's that feeling that I think we need to renew every year that we come to Pride, that you need to tell your stories and you need to sort of out yourself to the world or re-out yourself to the world. You should be doing that every day, but even more so during this month, because it gives us a time when we can reflect. It's also a good time, I think, for everybody to do their gay history lessons, to dive onto the internet, to go into Wikipedia, which is just a lovely source these days for queer history, to dive into Wikipedia and to search around about the Mattachine Society and the Daughters of Bilitis and look into the past, because without them, we wouldn't be here. Pride is not about wearing a thong in a parade and shaking your ass in front of thousands of people. Pride is about us fighting for what we need. Not what we want, what we need. We deserve, we need basic human rights. We need not to be discriminated against. We need to have hate crimes legislation. We need to be protected under this constitution in this country the way that other people are. And I don't mean to get hyper-political at this moment, but see, Stonewall brought up all these feelings inside of me. And it's so important. It's so important not for you to do it for me, not for you to do it for us as a community, but for you to do it as an individual. You must stand up for who you are, and you must speak out about who you are. Because, honey, ain't nobody else gonna do it for you. The only person that cooks dinner for your soul is you. And you have to do that. You have to do that even more these days with this bullshit political climate we're in. But I digress. I'm gonna get off my soapbox now.
Great Toronto Summer Adventures! Today's episode, We Will Rock You! Legend has it that audiences at Queen's smash hit musical can't help but leap to their feet when the music starts. This is nonsense, of course, but it serves as a metaphor for... Oh my... Woohoo! Oh, I meant to do that. Hotel rates from $92 a night, some conditions apply. Details at torontosummeradventures.com. Oh, my head.
The overture begins. The music swells. You're swept away to the Piazza Michelangelo to discover the light in the piazza. Broadway's most romantic new musical in years and the winner of 6 2005 Tony Awards. As if by fate, a sudden gust of wind blows the hat from a beautiful young woman into the grasp of a handsome young Italian, and it begins. The passion, the romance, Broadway's ultimate love story, The Light in the Piazza. Critics have hailed it a must-see, a consummate work of beauty, with the most romantic score of any Broadway musical since West Side Story. It won the critics. It won the Tonys. Now let it win your heart. The Light in the Piazza.
This romantic new musical is coming to the Auditorium Theater July 10th through July 22nd. For tickets, call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
While lesser men strapped on skates and played hockey, you donned skin-tight leotards and a teeny cowboy hat and learned figure eights.
Going round and round.
You practiced and practiced, hoping, knowing, someday, you'd be good enough to wear a giant puppet costume and skate in an ice show.
Welcome to the big time.
Skate perfectly and you're a crowd pleaser. Mess up and fall on your butt, and you're still a crowd pleaser. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Titan of the Tights. You may never wear a medal, but sequins are shiny too.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture. Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 24th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Openly gay actor, author, comic, playwright Scott Capurro comes to the Lakeshore Theater, 3175 North Broadway, during Pride Month for two nights only, June 29th and 30th at 8 p.m. Don't miss his hilarious and provocative show on gay culture and life. Tickets are only $15. For tickets to Scott Capurro, call 866-468-3401 or visit lakeshoretheater.com.
Now on stage at Victory Gardens Biograph is acclaimed lesbian playwright Claudia Allen's I Sailed with Magellan, adapted from Chicago author Stuart Dybbuk's novel. Breathe deep, look and listen as Allen transforms from page to stage Dybbuk's memories of Chicago's back streets circa 1950. Passionate, poetic, and powerful. For tickets to I Sailed with Magellan, call 773-871-3000 or go to victorygardens.org.
Northwestern University presents a new musical theater event at its Summer Music Theater Festival with Perfect Relationship, a salute to comedian in green, running July 6th through 29th. The festival's featured musical will be In the Bubble, opening July 27th, directed by Michael Grief, director of Rent. Tickets start at $25. Call 847-491-7282 or visit tic.northwestern.edu.
The grandeur of Shakespeare and the signature intimacy of writer's theater combine to create the potential for theatrical nirvana. Othello, the masterpiece of a general led into a frenzy of jealousy and insecurity by his most trusted soldier. Come closer to Shakespeare than you ever thought possible and fully realize the breathtaking characters of the world's greatest playwright. For more about Othello, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
Looking Glass Alice is playing now at its home at Looking Glass Theater Company in the Water Tower Waterworks after an East Coast tour. Adapted by David Catlin from Lewis Carroll's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass, Looking Glass Alice is an acrobatic and dizzyingly playful show for all ages. Variety called it extraordinary. For tickets, call 312-337-0665 or visit Looking Glass Theater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com. And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
In New York, four lesbians were sentenced to prison terms for attacking a man who came on to one of them while they were out with three other friends. Patrice Johnson, Renata Hill, and Venice Brown, and Terrain Dandridge received terms ranging from 3.5 to 11 years after Manhattan State Supreme Court Justice Edward McLaughlin commented that a videotape of the incident was damning. Dwayne Buckle, who called the situation, quote, a hate crime against a straight man, said that he suffered, among other things, a lacerated liver, bruises, and an eye injury.
In Wisconsin, a group of individuals being charged with first-degree murder homicide, among other things, reportedly beat a lesbian to death. Tammy Garland died after being attacked by her own daughter, Felicia May, and Michaela Clerk. Garland and Clerk were lovers, and Clerk thought that Tammy Garland was cheating on her. Candace Clark and Michael Sisk were also part of this group, who allegedly tortured Tammy's 11-year-old son by scalding him with hot water, locking him in a closet, and pulling on his privates with pliers.
New Jersey has become the sixth state to expressly ban discrimination against transgender individuals. The change to the state's anti-discrimination statute, which was approved in December but had a 180-day waiting period, adds gender identity and expression to categories already protected against discrimination regarding areas such as public accommodation, contracts, and housing.
In Michigan, officials with the city of Kalamazoo, the University of Michigan, and Michigan State University, MSU, are trying to provide domestic partner benefits without violating the state's anti-gay amendment. The state's constitutional amendment prohibits employers from offering such benefits. As a result, Kalamazoo has rescinded its benefits. However, MSU has expanded its plan to include any two people coexisting together in a relationship.
Connecticut Governor M. Jody Rell has vetoed a pro-medical marijuana measure. The bill would have let adults with medical conditions ranging from cancer to AIDS grow and smoke four marijuana plants. Rell herself is a cancer survivor.
In New York, the Buffalo Philharmonica Orchestra has settled with J. Bud Roach, an oboe player, who said that he was fired after complaining about another musician's anti-gay behavior. Roach claimed that in 2003, another oboist, Pierre Roy, said during auditions that we wouldn't want any more fags in the orchestra.
Ouch. Jocelyn Elders, a former U.S. Surgeon General, is the latest of many who wonders if Dr. James Holzinger should be the next in line to fill that role. Elders has said that Holzinger's views on homosexuality should not matter, but now he uses those views to educate and promote attitudes and feelings. They should be taken into account. Holzinger, President Bush's nominee for the position, has often expressed his support of anti-gay actions.
Walmart is rescinding its support of GLBT groups after conservative Christian organizations threatened to boycott the retail giant. Last year, Walmart, the world's largest retailer, joined the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. How quickly they turn. Mona Williams, who is with the company's communications department, said that Walmart has a policy of not supporting or opposing highly controversial issues.
And in more Walmart news, a Massachusetts jury awarded Cynthia Haddad $2 million in a case where she claimed she was fired from Walmart after requesting to be paid the same as her male co-workers. David Belfour, Haddad's lawyer, said that the verdict, quote, sends a message that you can't treat people poorly because of who they are.
Well, Spice Girl Melanie Brown, she wasn't lying. She has received DNA test results that confirm that actor Eddie Murphy is the father of her child. We're talking about Scary Spice. Mm-hmm. A rep for Brown confirmed that Murphy fathered Angel Iris Murphy Brown.
It's a nice thing. Murphy Brown, though, it made me think, you know, Candace Bergen.
Yeah.
Pam Anderson's latest gig might involve strip clubs. Ooh. Well, in Finland, to locate her roots, her heritage roots, not her hair.
Does not match the curtain.
I haven't ever seen carpet on her. Anderson wrote in her blog that she is, quote, going to look into opening a chain of strip clubs and to call them Lapland. Geography joke. Anderson is currently visiting the Scandinavian country with her dad, Barry. And that's your Windy
Barry.
City.
It's a very Scandinavian name, Barry.
Barry. And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Hi, this is Patrick Bristow, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast. What do you think of that?
So wandering around in the village was delightful. Visiting Stonewall, great. We went to stopped at a place called B&S. The bartender was delightful. He said, honeys, where are you from? Grab a magazine, sit down. I'll tell you everything you need to know. What kind of cocktail can I get you? He was just a delight. There was an elderly gentleman who was sitting at the bar who had a Marines cap on. They both were recounting stories about them and the Marines to me. And it was just so New York. I was losing my mind. I had just a delightful time. So Sunday was very, very, very gay pride for me. And then we went to Broadway Bears, which wasn't as good as last year, I have to say. Last year, the New York Strip was delightful. That was the name of the show. It was wonderful. This year was myth behaving. I'm Greek, so I know everything about Greek mythology, and I just reveled in it. But there were many people in the audience, I think, who didn't get all the mythology and the characters associated with the mythology that they were portraying. So it was lost on some people. But, you know, it was still good. David Hyde Pierce was actually one of the people who was featured. And he comes out at one point, he played Zeus, and it was funny that there were the lead woman who was sort of the narrator for the whole thing, she asked him, she said, well, I thought you liked boys, and he's like, oh, blah, 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 and it was funny. He just acknowledged that they made a joke out of it, but he was still really, really happy and really proud of what he was doing. And then on Monday, to further reinforce the rainbow that is the gay, we went to Radio City Music Hall to see the True Colors tour. I hope that when this tour was in your city, you had the chance to see it, because this is history in the making. The first sort of all queer concert tour, and I do believe that people like Cyndi Lauper and Margaret Cho do consider themselves queer, because they're not the same as everybody else. And to me, that's queer. Queer doesn't mean you're gay or homosexual or heterosexual or bisexual or trisexual or asexual or transsexual. Queer means that you are different and you consider yourself different. And this was the first queer sort of concert all pulled together. And it was simply wonderful. Caswell and Amanda got the party started. I got to see Amanda Lepore's tetas. It was delightful. Didn't get to see any nips, but got to see her tetas bouncing around, and she was doing this great dance and had all these wonderful New York drag queens with her. It was delightful. The gossip. Okay, Beth Ditto, you fucking rock my world, Beth Ditto. She sounded, now the album that the gossip have is just incredible to begin with, number one. It's just fucking phenomenal music. But live, and this bitch getting up there, and she was shimmying around in this tight purple dress with her rolls a-rolling, and she was talking about it. She's like, I'm a big girl. And she dedicated the song that you may know by the gossip called Standing in the Way of Control. She said, this one is for all the big girls and the little fags in high school. And who is ringing my door? Hang on, I have to pause because I don't know who's ringing my doorbell. Hang on, just a minute. I have to pause. Well, I have no clue who that was ringing my doorbell, and I did not let them in. I always get weirded out when somebody rings my doorbell and I don't know that anybody's coming. I don't know why I get weirded out. I think it goes back to my days when I used to smoke pot a long, 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 long time ago. Anyway, Beth Ditto said she dedicated Standing in the Way of Control, her very last song. She said, this is to all the gay boys in high school and all the big girls who beat up all the people who picked on the gay boys. And she just brought the house down, rocked everybody to the core. So awesome. Big props to the Gossip. Just seriously, three people on stage, a bass slash guitar player, Beth singing, and the drummer. And it sounded like there were a million people on stage. They have just such a big, wonderful, wonderful, full queer sound. So great. The Dresden Dolls, I had only heard one of their songs, I'm Going Up a Rated Boy. And they were okay live. I just don't really care for the lead singer's voice very much. That's basically two of them. It's the gal on the piano singing and the drummer. Drummer's hot as hell. But they were totally fun, had just such great energy, had the crowd going. Of course, Debbie Harry performed. And I think Debbie Harry's past her time for live performances. In the studio, I think she's still a perfectly acceptable artist. But live, she just didn't have it. Everything that she played sounded like it was late 80s. And I'm sorry, that's just not music I enjoy. No offense, Debbie Harry. I just think you need to stay in the studio, mama. Truly, truly. Rosie O'Donnell did stand up and really just had a great time with it. So much fun, so enjoyable. Margaret Cho, of course, narrated, brought us in and out of many of the acts that evening, and was hysterically funny. Any way I can get Margaret Cho, seriously, I'll get a slice of her. She's just so wonderful. Erasure got up there. I'm not a huge Erasure fan, but I was happy that he had like three divas behind him because they did actually sound great. But again, Andy Bell, he's a wonderful singer. He's great. Just Erasure's not very much my cup of tea. Although he had the crowd just going. Everybody was singing. Everybody had a great time. But then Miss Cyndi Lauper came out and my world stood still, and she sang and she sang and she preached and she talked. And, the Matthew Shepard act is about to go. You have to let your senators know truly that you support this and that they need to support this. And if they don't support it, you will not support them in the future. You have to let them know that this is something you must do. You must do it for yourself, not for anybody else, not for our community, but yourself. This is something that you need to do. You need to call your senator and say that they need to support that. We need to have at the federal level, it needs to say that discrimination based on sexual orientation and crime based on sexual orientation is wrong. We need to put that on the books. It's just not enough to say the color of your skin or religion. It needs to be sexual orientation. We need to have this. This is a need. This isn't a right. This is a need. We need to have this on the books. And she talked a lot about that. And everybody at the concert got a purple bracelet that said erase hate. And one of the more powerful things that she said that I, at first, you know, and I've heard her give this speech a lot. And at first, a very long time ago, you know, what she was talking about, I made up my mind about years ago, but I'll share it with you, that we can choose to hate the people who hate us. But as everybody knows, two wrongs don't make a right. And what we need to do, I'm talking about needs this entire show, because these aren't nice to haves. These are needs. These are things we need to do. What we need to do is love the people who hate us. We need to love them, because if we do love the people who hate us, love conquers all. And maybe the world will get just a little bit better. And we can't give in to hate. Hate is so easy to give into. It's such an easy emotion to let overtake you. And a very long time ago, I realized that the people who dislike gay people, the people who hate us, are the ones that need the most love from our community. And I don't mean love as in, I'm going to hug you and squeeze you and call you George. I don't mean it like that. But I mean love as in, you know, love understands. We need to understand that they're just coming from a different place. and that we need to love them, and we need to educate them, and we need to help. Because when you educate someone, you're loving them, you're embracing them, you're saying, I want you to learn about me. And sharing yourself in that way is love. That's truly, I think it's one of the more pure forms of love, to just share. Sharing is love. It's a wonderful thing. You're giving of yourself. So her message was truly, we need to love the people who don't like us, because they will come around. It's going to take some time. It's not going to happen overnight, but they will come around and they will do it. So, and I think a lot of people in the audience you could have heard a pin drop. And this is all of Radio City Music Hall, packed to the gills. You could have heard a pin drop. And I think it really made an impression on a lot of people. So I hope that if any of you listening to this haven't thought about that before, I really hope you do take that message to heart, that we need in our own way, whatever way we can, we need to love the people who hate us the most, because they will come around. Maybe we won't see it today, but they will come around based, you know, by us loving them. So she rocked the house and brought a bunch of children up on stage from a queer youth group up on stage to sing True Colors with her. And it was a little bit of a teary moment, and it was wonderful. And she had everybody on stage singing with her. And it was just, it felt right. It felt great to be a part of that historical event. So it's the True Colors Tour. If it's coming to your town, I can't stress enough how important it is that you go, because this is history in the making. This is the first queer tour we've ever had. And it's on a national, big, giant national level. And the HRC is supporting it. And all these great people are working with it. And Logo is supporting it. And it's just, it's a magical thing that we have in our lives and in our world. So support them all you can. But it is Pride weekend. And I am staring at a list of food that I am going to cook for my big fat Greek pride party. And I'm going to go down the list, and we're going to have a little bit of a Greek lesson now, because I feel like I don't talk enough Greek on this show. I don't know why I do it. I think it's because I speak Japanese much better these days. But so on my list of food that I'm making, number one, you've probably heard this one, is tzatziki. Tzatziki is the Greek sauce. It's the white sauce that comes on gyros. It's the cucumber yogurt dip spiked with garlic. It's delightful. I'm also making tara masalata, which is like Greek caviar, like a spread. It's delightful. It's salty and pink and delicious. Hummus, which, you know, it's not 100% Greek, but the Greeks eat it a lot. And we make a chickpea spread, and we just have called it hummus for years. So it's not as Middle Eastern. I mean, it is Mediterranean. There we go. Not as Middle Eastern as you think. It's more Mediterranean. I'm also making tiro pitakia and spanako pitakia. Tiro pitakia are the little cheese, are like cheese pies, and spanako pitakia are spinach pies with cheese in them. So I'm going to make little triangles. You remember how when you were in school and you played that little triangle football game where you took a long ribbon of paper and you folded it like in a triangle and then folded it over and folded it again? Kind of how they fold a flag when they're getting ready to retire it or burn it. Religious, I mean, ceremonially, when they're burning the flag, not, you know, in a bad way. And so you do that by putting the filling in there, and then you fold phyllo dough around it, and then you bake them, and they're delicious. They're wonderful. They're so addictive. I'm making pita chips. You know what pita chips are. Making them nice and toasty. I'm making a big salad. It's called peasant salad, horiatiki. Horiatiki is salad without lettuce. So it's sliced up tomatoes, sliced red onions, sliced cucumbers, and like a Greek vinaigrette dressing, which means garlic, olive oil, red wine vinegar, and lots of oregano. And some parsley and dill, too. That's a horiatiki. For the main dish, I'm making these little patties. They're kind of like, imagine like gyros meatballs. I call them tuzukakia, but you can call them keftedes. They've got many different names for what's going on. I call them tuzukakia because they're flavored, and I'm making them like maybe little torpedoes. I don't know if I'm going to make little discs or little torpedoes, but they're delightful. And you put some tzatziki on that, it's great. It's so good. You can also put some tara masalata or some hummus right next to it. It's delightful. And I'm also making like Greek oven roasted potatoes with garlic and lemon. Are you hungry yet? Because I'm fucking starving talking about all this. I'm making potatoes with roasted potatoes with lemon. And for dessert, I've blogged about this one. It's a cake called Revani. It's like a big golden sponge cake with lots of honey on it. So the full menu from start to finish: tzatziki, tara masalata, hummus, tiro pitakia, spanako pitakia, pita, horiatiki, tuzukakia, patata mi limoni. And I also have a can of dolmades, which are little rolled grape leaves stuffed with rice and herbs. There's that. Is there anything else? Kalamata olives, but I don't really like olives, but I got them because that's a Greek thing and I should have it. And there'll be plenty of feta
and lots of pita bread everywhere. So that is the huge spread that I'm putting out. I think I'm going to have 30 people. I'll probably have twice that. I don't know. I don't know how many people are coming over, but a ton of people are coming over to my house for Pride. Big invite went out. So my big fat Greek Pride party, this is my first inaugural in this place. And as long as I can stay here, I'm going to have one. So I'm excited for that. God, I'm hungry after talking about all that. So I have to not only clean my house between now, it's Friday night. I have Saturday to clean and make all that food. And then Sunday is Pride. People are going to be here about 11:30. The Pride Parade starts at noon. The Pride Parade starts in front of my house, basically. So I have a little balcony and picture window. So it's going to be enjoyable. But I wanted to leave you guys with just one little thought. One final thought, because I think I've been a little verbose, and God, I've gotten political and teen angst. Woo, I've talked about a ton in this show. This is 30 minutes of great Peter fucking... Do you see what I mean? When I don't do a show for a while, I hold it up. It's like when you... Boys, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't wank off for an entire week, by the time you do on Friday, wow. It's like a whitewash whatever you want. The girls are like, what? Ew, I don't want to know about that. Seriously. But I want to leave you with this. How do I want to say this? In the queer community, I really see a very binary switch. I see people who are queer in everything that they do, and I see people that are queer some of the time. And my goal in living is to make the world comfortable enough for people to be queer all the time. And it's not a judgment call to me by saying some people can only be queer some of the time. I appreciate that the world is a varied and different place, that some people have to do things differently than others, that some people have to live their life in a different manner than I do, or you do, or the person next door to us does. I'm not judging them. But I'm saying that my goal is for the world to be a place where we can all be queer 24/7 in everything that we do. That you never have to flip that switch. That you never have to turn the gay on or the gay off. You can just be. Because straight people in this world, people who are not queer, I shouldn't say straight people, I should say people who are not queer. People who are not queer have the luxury of being themselves no matter what. And that's something we don't have. That's something we need to have in this world. And once we have more of that, and each day we're gaining more of that, do not get me wrong, but once we have more of that, being who you are, being queer unto yourself, the world will be a better place for everyone, not just the queer. And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight.